right. Welcome back from the excitement of Boston Blackie. Welcome back to Project Independence and You, and the really red-hot segment of the show, Talk of the Town, with our famous producer, Christina Liu. Christina.
Oh, you guys are doing a fabulous job
on this
very precarious day outside. Thank you both for making it here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Perfect radio day.
That's right. I like that. And yeah. I wish I was home and with my pajamas
you could
listening to the radio.
would you be listening to us?
I would be because I love my Project Independence.
Remember, you can always pick it up on the Project Independence Radio website, and at another point on Saturday or Sunday in your leisure, you can listen to it
in your pajamas.
You can actually listen. You can. What's that called when you listen to watch a show for?
Like binge it.
You can binge it.
You can. You
because
can binge
we have 6 years worth of
shows.
That's a nice thing. In the archives,
really
you save it.
And if anyone says they don't know how to age in place, I mean, they really
you would age in place listening to 6 years worth of radio.
So
if you have a favorite show, please don't hesitate to listen to it over and over
again. Obviously, you know, certain information we have on is, you know, of a time-sensitive thing, but a lot of it isn't. And that's why I would encourage people to go back and listen to these things, because we have these great organizations on that, I mean, offer these programs and services. And I think that's what's great about having it archived is, you know, you're like, oh, what was that segment? I mean, I get those calls all the time, you know. You had somebody on, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, and you can now search. You can go into the website and type in the keyword, and it'll pull up.
What's nice about that website
is it's broken down into the 15-minute segments.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
in
if
the beginning.
You don't want to hear an entire show, but you see that there's something there that you want to listen to, you can go 15 minutes, you can go for the second 15, and then if you don't want to hear anymore, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the first couple of years, that wasn't the case.
Right,
you
and
have
that
to
was something
to
we
the whole show.
Right, we did it because we realized it
whatever
was
part you want.
It wasn't easy. So thank you to our IT department who helped us with that. But also listening, I want to tell people that you are able to listen to Project Independence and You Radio and all of 88.1 FM WCWP.org on an app. You can download a free app. You can download it for your iPhone or your Android device, or you know, you can put it on your iPad, whatever.
I have
whatever
it.
You have.
Works good.
You know, we always laugh because when I had first promoted this, John actually downloaded it on air. And he didn't realize it would happen so fast. And he downloaded it and it was playing while we were on. So it works. We had proof right there.
So you could hear yourself.
Yes, he was quite embarrassed. But it did. It was a good plug for the app in itself. And, you know, it's great because I downloaded it too. And you literally just with a press of a button can tune in and listen to.
Now, how did that work? Were you able to hear yourself at the same time?
Yeah, there was a slight delay. So it was, you know, something that I talked about, you know, like a minute or so before. But
so is that for censor purposes?
That's right. We get too edgy. I really encourage people to do
Sometimes
it. You know,
get really nasty.
That's right. But, you know, it's definitely something I think, you know, because unfortunately we wish we could have a crazy signal that broadcasted out all over the place. But this solves that issue.
Very good.
Definitely, I just want to.
So you could actually listen to this show in China.
You can. And listen, we might have listeners. They want to know how North Hempstead stays so wonderful.
So we have to broaden our horizons.
That's right. We have to do that. But I also want to say, you know, as we talked about earlier, it's Social Work Month. And being a social worker, it's a great month, I think, too. You know, I love, like, the themes. You know, I always laugh because, you know, as soon as we check out the theme, we celebrate it at work. You know, Paul and myself were giving each other little presents for Social Work Month, as we do. But this year's theme is Leaders, Advocates, and Champions. And I think that really kind of sums up things because, you know, something that I really want to tell people too, you know, if you have a grandchild or a child or someone that's interested in kind of going in this field, it really is a broad field. You know, like I said, obviously there's the Audrey, you know, who does more of a clinical direct thing. But there's also social workers that are more in the, like, program, too, as myself, the program development, like, on a more of a macro kind of level. And I think that's a really important thing. You know, I went into it. I had a bachelor's in sociology. And then I knew I wanted to go on for a master's, and I was struggling, trying to figure out what I kind of wanted to do. And then my mom, I'll never forget, sends me an email saying, this just sounds like you. And she sent me an email with a list of, you know, what a social worker. She's like, it just sounds like you. I think you. So then that flash forward, you know, is to what I went into. And I remember just being in there. And it was really, it's such a diverse thing. And I think because so many aspects and careers include that, you know, whether you want to deal with children or you want to deal with seniors or you want to deal with substance, you know, whatever your passion is of trying to help. And I knew from the get-go that I wanted to work with seniors, so that made it a little easier for me.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Frankly, I would say the percentage of people who want to work with seniors is a lot less than those who work with children.
No, it actually, that's actually very true. And that was the only thing that was kind of tough is that, you know, in school, there's a lot of electives that have different, you know, whatever. So you take it based upon what you want. There was really none involving the aging population. And I remember being like, oh, God, like, what do I do now? So I took a bunch of different ones, obviously. But it was really, a lot of people want to do it in schools, you know, and as we said, work with children. But I have to say that as the years go on, there's definitely a move towards, you know, pushing this and really learning more about it, too. Because I really got most of my experience when I interned here at North Hempstead, which was like a long time ago.
When you were young.
I don't even remember. It was like in 2009.
Digging deep, What made you feel as though you wanted to go toward the older group?
You know, I always think about, you know, I was very close to my grandparents. You know, they both on both sides, and, you know, they would watch me when I was younger, and I was just always very close to them. My grandmother, my mom's mom, I was inseparable with it, and my grandfather, as you know. And I think it was just something I knew, you know? It was funny because I remember being in school and everyone was talking about, you know, being with kids, and I love kids, think kids are wonderful, but I knew I just didn't want to work with kids, you know? And they would be like, well, you want to work with seniors? And I was like, that's like what I want to do. And then what was interesting is that, you know, this program had just been starting, and I remember getting the call from Paula saying, you know, this program is essentially a new program, and we're going to be expanding. We're looking for an intern, and I loved it immediately because it was more of this community-based thing. And I knew I didn't want to do direct, you know, therapy. I like the planning aspect of things, and I think that's what's really great. Like I was trying to say originally about social work is that, you know, it incorporates so many different things, you know, so I am, you know, planning is one of my things.
You're good at it.
And did you know you were a pioneer in your field in that I've never met too many people that go the radio route?
Well, that's what, you know, and that's what's, you know, we laugh because, you know, we always say there's so many different things when they ask you, you know, you're in a meeting, they say, what do you do? And it's like, oh, my God, and I have to, like, I'm not even sure how to tie this all in.
A lot of things.
But that's what the beauty is of it and why it is so broad because, you know, I like to do the program development aspect of things. But then, you know, because we are a small department, I fell into this communications kind of role. So, you know, I do like the newsletter and all the promotional stuff. And then when this radio came in, you know, I kind of just fell into it. Evelyn Roth, who was the commissioner at the time, was like, all right, we're going to do this radio. You're going to produce it. And I'm like, all right, so I'm going to produce the radio. And she's like, I have the utmost faith in you, you know. And it was just something, you know, and obviously as time went on, I got easier. And, you know, now I have my own segment on the show, you know.
Well, you know, for people who, you know, you say produce the show, any show, people sort of see the end product.
Right.
They don't see all the work and all the phone calls and all the emails. And
no, I say, like, I'm a professional harasser. And yeah. I'm very good at it because I will, like, just send you confirmations till you really, like, there's no way you could possibly forget about showing up, you know.
Well, I used to be like that in my world, which was sales and marketing. I would be, that's a little different there. You can't harass people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would be a professional nag.
Yeah.
With people when they said they were going to do something.
Right, and I'm very much.
If you tell me you're going to do something,
that's right.
You fall into my trap.
I'm also like that in my personal life, too. And I'm pretty much like that in my. But you know what's interesting, actually, before I went into sociology in my bachelor's, I was marketing was my major. And I was doing all this, like, oh, because I figured like that would be a good thing for me. But then, you know, I was doing well, but it wasn't like something that I really felt. And then I had just took the sociology elective and I was like, you know what, this is just more of my speed. But it's interesting because my job kind of encompasses all those different things.
Well, you are marketing Project Independence, which it needs to be marketed.
Yeah, of course.
You want people to utilize the service.
No, and I have, you know, I love doing, you know, creative things too, is like, you know, in my personal life, I love doing things like that too. And being in this role, I have that ability to, you know, really try to think of different things. So it's and that's what I want to stress is that, you know, people see social workers on TV, you know, and it's the CPS coming for your child, or, you know, I mean, because I remember people would say, like, oh, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're doing, you know, and that's like the image.
It has a stigma connected
right.
to it. Yeah.
And it's like this, like, oh, my God, you're going to tell on me and I'm going to, you know, something bad is going to happen. And I think that, you know, as time goes on, obviously, and especially with Project Independence.
And I think just, in general, your background has made this program broad-based mm-hmm. in various disciplines and professions that cover the scope of
right.
what a social worker does.
Absolutely.
So you know that that has influenced choices in who the guests are that come on and the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and just speaking of the Project Independence social workers and nurses, I mean, they're really the ones, and it just, I'll hear a story and you just hear like how they're the ones that are in the home, you know, frankly. And
I said that earlier
much,
when
yeah,
Audrey was
as,
on.
As much as yeah. we, you know, do the, I mean, they're really the ones that, and they're constantly, you know, getting calls, you know, because even the counselor, which is great because there's an open communication that goes on. And what is wonderful is that since we're an older program now, you know, the council people know, they'll come across a resident and say, oh my God. They'll pick up the phone and say, you know, so-and-so, and then we pass it over to our social worker, and they really get in and close the loop. And it's just, it's really an amazing thing when you see it happen. You take it for granted a lot of times because we do it every day. But, you know, sometimes you'll see, like, you know, these major things. You know, someone's homeless on the street, or they got kicked out. You know, it's just, there's so many layers. And it's just, they do a wonderful job. It's just incredible.
It requires a team effort with an end result that is to help people.
Yeah.
Through whatever the issue is.
And, you know, it basically, you know, no one's really going into social work, you know, for the money.
Really?
You know, and I think that's what also makes it, you know, special. The people that are in that role are actually doing it because they care
about
it. You
know, I think in your life you make decisions, or I made them myself.
Yeah.
I could have many, many times moved
mm-hmm.
With corporations
yeah,
wanting me
like
to move here, there, wherever
yeah.
for the promotion. And I decided that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't have to become a billionaire.
Right.
You know, I'm happy with what I have. And
I
think these are choices you make as an individual.
Right, of course.
And I think in social work, you make that choice
mm-hmm.
very early in the game.
Yeah.
You realize you're not going to get $1 million a year.
No, and it's very hard, too. You know, we're fortunate in, you know, I'm a government employee, which I'm happy about, you know, because there is a certain security that goes along with that. But, you know, what is really difficult is a lot of these community-based organizations that social workers are employed by, you know, have been losing funding. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just there's so many things and cutbacks, and that's the first thing that gets cut, you know, and when all these changes are occurring, you know. So it's really, it's a difficult thing, too, you know, and it's just, but, you know, just kudos to all them. And I know a lot of wonderful social workers out there that are just doing and great stuff and making the world a better place, frankly, so. Happy Social Work Month on that note, because I can talk about that all day long, frankly. But I also want to, I know earlier we were talking a little bit about the LIAF organization, which is the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. We're having them on the radio. I didn't want to chime in when the segment was going on, but they will be on the show in on March 23rd. We're going to have Tori Cohen, who's an LCSW, actually, and she's the executive director of LIAF. So she'll be on talking about all the services that are offered there, too. So I just wanted to remind people of that. And also something in this kind of thing is next week we're going to have Caroline Sarikoff, who is the associate director of the Gold Coast Great Neck Art Center. They do our film festival, which is wonderful, but they've also been doing a lot of programming geared towards seniors. And they have a new program called Making Memories at the Gold Coast Art Center. So the next one is coming up for that. It will be March 12th, and that one is focused on movies. So what's really great about that is that, you know, we all know, all of us know that, you know, movies can really spark, you know, memories or, you know, a certain connection, whatever it might be. So you're going to enjoy clips of these classic movies and then have conversation and kind of reminisce after. So that is that. And that is over there, which I think is great.
A little thought on that that came up at the Project Independence Advisory Committee meeting
mm-hmm.
on Monday in New Hyde Park, making memories from movies.
Mm-hmm.
We all have, lots of us, old movies
mm-hmm.
home. And they have lots of memories in them.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone through the process of 8mm to VHS to CD to DVD to digitizing movies. And I encourage people, seniors, to not let these movies go away.
I agree.
Do something with them. Take the time.
And Otto actually inspired me because we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I went through all my things, and I'm trying to prioritize which ones I want to do first because they're all mostly of my birthday
parties. Well,
there's
a lot of great memories that people have sitting in boxes, you know, old movies or slides.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely.
And there are services out there. It's worth the money.
Yeah, I agree.
To get them converted to something that people can use.
Oh, and we are rapidly getting through.
How can that be?
I know. This is what happens when we just are in this Talk of the Town segment. We just fly by. But just quickly before, you know, what Otto was saying, there are services. And you could always, you can call 311 and we could help you. Obviously, we don't recommend certain businesses, but we could help. I know there's a lot of organizations that do things to try and preserve memories. So definitely check it out.
We're going to be taking a break. I'm getting Victoria's very, very tough.
That's
no,
right.
She's actually very sweet young lady. And she's giving us the high sign that we're now going to take
That's
a break.
Right, heading to our last segment.
This is Project Independence and You on WCWP.org 88.1 FM. And we are now taking a break.